Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and I could not be more delighted that you have decided to stop by and share in some, you know, some good energy, some good listening, and some good sharing, and just some goodness about what's going on the planet today, what's going on within our beings. You know, there's so much happening. God knows there is so much happening on, you know, little old planet Earth these days. So I'm really excited about tonight's show for several reasons. One of them, my guest has never been on, so that's always exciting to me to, you know, have a new dance partner to dance with. And there seems to be a lot of changes going on. Oh, somebody recently told me that they didn't know where to find my website. They were like, I listen to all your shows, and you don't even mention that you have one. You know, I mean, there's one thing to do under self-promotion, but no self-promotion is a little kooky. So I have to start getting used to. My website is, amazingly, Another Reality Show, anotherrealityshow.com. I have lots of things on the page, some personal questions I answered a while ago, and all the shows are archived. There's also a message place where you can leave comments, and I love it when people leave comments, good, bad, ugly, or beautiful. If you have something to say, I would love to hear it, or you know, if you have any ideas for shows, where you want to take this, that's a great place to connect with me if we're not already connected on Facebook. So I want to, you know, make that announcement. Yes, anotherrealityshow.com is where you can find me. So it's been an interesting week. Today and yesterday, actually for like the last 3 days, I have definitely been feeling some internal effects going on. The best way to describe it is I'm not sure which organs are where in my body, like where my kidney is and where my liver, pancreas. I don't know where each of them are. But I know my organs feel bruised. So I've kind of been sharing that with people who are also feeling that way. It feels like I'm recovering from surgery, which somebody had put a question mark when I posted that on Facebook. And ultimately what I mean is that I just feel like something was happening inside of great shifting and great changing. And also, I have been severely nauseous for like the last 3 days. And my bowel movements, they're off the hook. You know, my whole body is definitely going through a shift and a change. And, you know, I definitely want to share with everybody that from what I learned from reading and listening to Lisa Renee and my own personal experiences is that the shifting and changing happening on the planet is the macrocosm for the shifting and changing that's happening within our physical beings. And, you know, I'm not telling anyone not to seek medical attention, but I am definitely encouraging people to, you know, don't give your power away that, you know, you're going to run to a doctor and say, doctor, heal me, and the doctor is going to run their test and go, there's nothing wrong with you. And it's clear that there's something changing in you. But I would definitely invite you all to, you know, recognize that change doesn't mean that you're sick. Change means that change is happening. So there's cleansings and there's clearings and there's upgrades. And I really would invite you all to recognize what happens on the planet and what happens to us. We really are the cellular structure of the planet. So it's actually, it's kind of happening simultaneously. The physical things that are happening to us are showing up as tsunamis and earthquakes and volcanoes and floods. That is not a coincidence. That is a direct connection to our awareness that us and the planet really are one being. You know, we appear separate, but we're really not. You know, we're all living in we're the ecosystem of the planet, or at least part of the ecosystem. So when the changes are happening, don't be frightened. Nurture yourself. Drink lots of water. Get plenty of rest. Sleep is big on the list, and I get in the Western culture, you know, people think if they sleep too long, you know, they're lazy and unproductive. And that couldn't be further from the truth from what we need right now. The human body needs to rest because it is going through a tremendous transition. And by resting and or sleeping and taking baths and like what I was laying flat on the ground today was so helpful. Just having my hands and my feet on the dirt and my whole body. It was comforting me, you know, from an emotional standpoint, but it absolutely subsided the nausea. I mean, the sun was shining, the breeze was blowing. Don't think by quote unquote because your body's not doing something that you're lazy or you know, those are belief systems that are out with the old, in with the new, and that's all about self-nourishing, self-nurturing, connection to the planet, because it's what's required of us. This is, you know, we are going through a change, and that is now a requirement. We can't work ourselves to the bone anymore, which personally I've never done anyway. but it's good to know we can't do that because we want to live on a planet that's conscious and taking care of ourselves. That's part of the heaven on earth criteria. So I wanted to share that with everybody to let everybody know you're not sick. You're transitioning. Woo! Okay. Well, and on that happy note, all right, everybody, get comfortable. And if you're not driving a car, shut your eyes. Let's take some nice deep breaths. And everybody, you can say this out loud or within your mind, that you want to invite your essence to fully join you in your body. And remember, our essence only needs to be invited in. We are not here to convince or manipulate. Our essence has been waiting for eons of time to join us down here in the third dimension, and it could not be more delighted. When the invite comes, believe me, so does your essence. This really is the time of the blending. Part of the changes we're going through is the frequency is preparing our body to hold more light. And as our essence joins our body, that's exactly what it brings. It brings in more light. And so the invitation is just being congruent with what's happening on a very natural, organic scale. And that's self-empowering. To be in congruency is self-empowering. So I welcome you to any time you have a moment in time, whether you're at a red light, whether, you know, there's a pause in your day, invite your essence to join you. It's a fabulous, fabulous invitation to becoming aware of yourself as more than a physical being. And with that awareness, life really does become heaven on earth. And, you know, we could use that perspective as the appearance of the third dimension, you know, collapses before our very eyes. Okay, so I love you all, and I'm excited about tonight's guest. She's fabulous, okay? She is a nationally known master certified coach. She's an author of the book, well, she has a few books. The one she sent me, which was fabulous, Less Drama, More Fun, Your Roadmap to Personal Freedom. She specializes in coaching leaders, executives, business owners, Generation Y, parents, and teens. She's just an amazing human being, and I'm very excited to have her on the show with us tonight. Please help me welcome Barbara McRae. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah, we're delighted to have you.
Good.
So, yeah, you're an amazing lady, my friend.
Well, okay, so are you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, indeed.
We both have a lot of passion, and I sure appreciate your enthusiasm, and getting to know you better. So happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you as well. Thank you. Thank you. And, yeah, passion, you know, that's, you know, there's many places we can start this conversation, but I'll be honest with you, passion is, this is also one of the essence in my personal belief that it's like a mandatory ingredient in the soup of life right now. Passion. You know, it's like people have done things for, you know, approval, for financial gain, for fame and fortune, but I don't think the energies of today are going to support people if they're not passionate. How do you feel about that statement?
Well, it's absolutely a necessary ingredient for anything, truly anything. It fuels you. I mean, it's like the gasoline in your car. You know, you're the car, and passion's the gasoline. And without it, you're not going to go very far.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I feel that people, you know, it's like, how many times have you heard, I'm sure in your practice, this is what I really love to do, but, you know, I could never make a living out of doing that.
All the time. I hear it all the time.
There's such a program that goes on that people believe that, you know, A, B, and C, you know, doctors, engineers, lawyers, those are where the money makers are. And, you know, because I know for myself, I always try to bring my show into, I can't speak for other people, I can only speak for myself. I learned early in life, and I don't even think I learned it, I think I just connected to it, was the idea that I knew I didn't want to work corporate because there was just a sense that my indigo was kind of out there, and that I would speak a truth that I knew inherently, if I spoke my truth at too many meetings, I wasn't going to last very long corporate. So I just knew inherently that I had to work for myself. And it was interesting because in my 20s, for 5 years, I cleaned houses. And I loved it because I had my own schedule. I didn't have any bosses looking over me. It was me and a girlfriend of mine. We could get our day done in like 4 or 5 hours and have the rest of the day to do our, you know, do whatever we wanted. There was just a sense of an independent aspect that I really enjoyed that. And, you know, of course, I was raised Jewish. In the Jewish culture, they don't like theirs cleaning houses. That's just, you know, my whole family reacted rather poorly to that, except for my mom. My mom was always like, listen, whatever, you know, she pays her bills with, you know, cleaning houses, you know, let her do whatever, you know, she wants to do it. I don't care.
Well, good for your mom.
Yeah, she was a fast-forward thinker. And my father was really more interested in that I paid my bills and saved my money and had good credit, which is also very much culturally part of the Jewish Jewish tradition. But so the reason why I bring this up is what's interesting is because it was a natural transition for me to go into nannying. But, you know, I know a lot of people are like if I talk to people, and I mean, I'm not a life coach, but I hear people say, you know, friends of mine, oh, I really love arts and crafts, let's just say. And it's like, okay. And they're like, you know, but there's not a real place for me, you know, to do something like that. And I'm like, you know, it's like people are waiting for the niche to be there. And I keep encouraging people, be there in your passion and create the niche.
Yeah, it's like they're waiting for some neon sign to be flashing at them as they're cruising down the highway with their name on it saying, oh, this is your niche.
Exactly.
And it doesn't work that way.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, exactly.
I can relate to what you're talking about. If I may, Goldie, just share a little bit about, you know, my journey in discovering how to turn my passion into, you know, a viable business. And
perfect.
Truly, you know, I think you can relate a little bit to this because As you know, I've spent many years in the corporate world, and at first I enjoyed it because I really like developing people. But after I met my goal and got my corner office with the cherry furniture and the company car and the stock options and all that, I'm like, you know, I don't really need to prove to myself that I can do this anymore. I was really looking for more meaning. So, you know, I put it out there to spirit, and, you know, the answer came just the way you would expect it to. You know, it's a great example of ask and it is truly given, because, you know, not too long after that, the synchronicity happened where I met a woman who was doing similar work that I had been dreaming about, and I had never heard of this particular brand of coaching before. And mind you, this was in the early 90s, and most people thought of coaching as athletic coaching, right? Soccer,
exactly.
Or, you know, what have you. And so, you know, I mean, as soon as I learned about it, I immediately knew that this was my calling, this is what I was looking for, this suits my personality and my passion and all of that. And yet, you know, to my friends, they thought I was nuts. They thought I was crazy. I mean, here I had made it, right?
Right.
You know, when you consider the perspective of my peers, and I was willing to throw that all away, you know, this is their perspective, on something that is brand new, is probably going to be a fad, probably won't be very long, probably won't be able to make any money at it, right? And so why would I leave my corporate gig to launch my own business when, you know, the bankers, wouldn't even give me a merchant card because they didn't understand what this coaching business was going to be about, you see?
Okay, right.
I mean, that's how crazy it was back then. People just really didn't get it. And so, obviously, you know, I had to be really clear within myself that, you know, this is where Spirit was leading me. And I knew that that felt right to me. So I made the commitment and I did it. And, you know, it's probably one of the best decisions I've ever made.
Excellent.
But, you know, it's hard for people to do that alone.
Why? Why is that hard, though? I mean, in your experience, why? I don't understand that.
Well, that's a great question. And I think it's because the difference between me and the colleagues that I was working with is that, you know, I had already started meditating years ago, and I developed my intuition. I had been quite intuitive as a young child, but it kind of got knocked out of me because my parents didn't get it. But
right.
I reconnected with it in high school when I was 16. And then I started trusting it more, and I was just more inclined to developing a relationship with Spirit. And because of that, that's what gave me the courage to go forward into the unknown, because I felt that I was being pulled forward. There was this universal force that was pulling me in that direction. Does that make sense?
Completely. Completely. And one of the things I love about your face, you word things very eloquently, simply. You know, I'm a visual worder, and so are you, because I can follow your, you know, pulling you. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I actually launched my business with my signature program, which was Mission Possible, Living with Purpose and Vision and Fulfillment, helping people make that same kind of transition that I made, except I was able then to develop a coaching program to help them through the steps making that transition, because for many people, even today, the people that are attracted to my practice come to me because they need more structure. They need to understand how are they going to get from their current reality to their future reality, and how do we fill that gap?
Right. So how is there things you can share with the listeners, you know, to help them understand that journey? Because I think that is a lot. I think a lot of people dream about their world, but they're not necessarily living their dreams.
Yeah. Right. Well, and I will say, I mean, I think there's, you know, I saw the statistic, and I actually think there's some truth to this. There's probably less than 10% of the population that can do this on their own.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It is possible. I'm an example of that. I do know of some other people who have done that as well. Many
yeah.
of them have also written books. not surprisingly, right?
Someone had to get the show started.
And I mean, there's a gazillion books out there on passion, on, you know, doing what you love and the money will come, and all of these kinds of things. But, you know, that's not enough. When I work with somebody, I have certainly given them a reading list. There's a structure, a system that I have that I've developed over the years that gets at the heart of things very, very quickly. And a lot of this is just knowing what questions to ask, but then also combining that with some assessments. And many of these assessments require certifications, you know, professional certifications. So it's not, you know, something that just anybody can do. But, you know, if somebody wants to start on their own, it's really paying attention to when your body, which is your communications partner, right, when your body lets you know that, wow, I'm feeling increased energy right now because this is something that really interests me.
Nice. Okay.
You see? So paying attention, and this actually for your listeners I think probably makes a lot more sense than, you know, maybe, you know, the general population.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right? So really paying attention to, you know, whether you just feel more excited or whether you actually, like, I call them my spirit bumps, where I just get these goosebumps that, you know, start from my toes and go all the way up to the top of my head and back down again.
Yeah.
Like I'm getting them right now.
Me too. That's wonderful. Exactly. Yes.
So that's, you know, that's a sign. Hello.
Exactly.
Right? That you're on the right track. And you know, if you want to think of it as your angels are around you, you know, giving you that confirmation, or however you want to visualize that, picture that in your mind, is certainly an individual thing. But that's how you can start. You know, rather than saying, well, so-and-so told me about this, that sounds really interesting, and so-and-so told me about that, and yeah, that might be it too. You know, that's not how it works. It's what you, your inner being tells you, will signal you, not externally like on that neon sign I was talking about on the highway,
right.
But
right.
Internally.
Right. See, it's connecting the body. Because, you know, it's interesting because one of the things I noticed, at least for myself, like 5 years ago, it seemed a lot of the light workers were getting us, we were meditating to get out of our bodies.
Yes.
And, you know, I really believe that that is a fault strategy, or that's incorrect. But I understand the desire to want to expand into cosmoses and galactics, but you don't get it by leaving the body. You get it by going through the body. You go into the body, and
right.
Then through that within space, Jupiter shows up and Andromeda shows up, which I think, you know, well, I don't think, I know that we're doing a disservice. Anyone that's if you're teaching, you know, or if you're involved in a meditation that doesn't ground you first in your physical being, you're gonna crash and burn, because you're not feeding. The reason why we're in the physical dimension is the body. This is the wisdom of the sages. Exactly like you're saying, is in our bodies.
Right.
And we have, you know, because I'm just coming into something that, you know, I'm not talking a lot about, but I believe it's actually an agenda that because the more we go through our bodies, the more we remember, the more we trust the inner guidance, the more sovereign and free we become to express ourselves as passionate creative beings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I agree with you about a lot of what you just said, specifically that I too am feeling the sense that, you know, the goal is not to leave the body, but the goal is to combine more of our spiritual godlike essence and put that in the body, because,
yes,
you know, really fuse the two together,
yes,
instead of separating it.
Yes. Because,
yeah,
the ascension isn't about, the ascension used to be we would leave our body, but that's technically through transition, which is we die.
Yeah, that's right.
This is, and that's where I think a lot of people feel that, well, wait, I'm ascending. It's like, no, but this ascension is different because it is a planetary ascension. The planet is also ascending with us. And because of that, it's now about going in to go out. Which I get is a paradox. There's so much paradoxal.
Like,
look at the mirror. It's not you. It's me. It's like, what? 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 You know. So, you know, that's why it's not through the mind either. You know, one of the greatest things someone said to me was, if you want to get to know God, let go of your mind.
Right.
You know, you won't get
to
know God.
You have to lose your mind. Yeah.
You have to lose your mind to get to know God. And,
yeah,
you know, it's like, and that's, I think, also kind of, because these things all seem to be happening on the planet, and, you know, I can't even imagine, you know, because the numbers I'm hearing is, I mean, 90% of the planet is not aware of the mystical side of our beingness.
That's probably true.
I mean, I can't even fathom. I mean, I know how challenging it is, you know, going through this with what knowledge I do have. I cannot imagine this, you know, from the blind factor, so to speak. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, hence I do a radio show, and you do write books and do coaching, you know, because it's so funny. All the teachers used to say there's going to come a time where they're going to be lined up outside your door, Goldie, and there'll be plenty of clients for all of us. I mean, healers and speakers, and you know, I can really genuinely see the planet going through some changes now, and not, of course, not even just the physical changes. Because of what I know, I recognize the physical is really an effect of the consciousness and the frequencies and the vibrations and the energy that is changing on the planet.
Yeah, I can feel that too.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I don't think there's anybody that doesn't feel it. I think there's lots of people that don't understand what they feel. But at this point, you know, you don't have to pick up spiritual literature to know that something's happening inside us, you know, because it is, you know, I can feel the energy as, you know, like sometimes it feels like it's pushing me, you know, like it's, you know, I have to consciously breathe and, you know, like this nausea, I was like, all right, I'm, like most people when they're nauseous, you know, I'm sure, you know, they lay down and, you know, maybe watch TV, take the day off or whatever. You know, I intuitively heard, go to the woods, go lay down in the ground.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I felt so much better once I did that. And I mean, I'm still a little nauseous, but you know, like I was saying in the opening, it's like we have to take our power back, because there's a lot of conditioning that's happening to us that, you know, it just doesn't apply in the changes that we're going through. You know, I'm not a big fan of pharmaceuticals. I honor people that take them, but you know, how many people tell me, you know, on Facebook, I went to the doctors today and they said, you know, the tests show nothing's wrong. And I'm like, well, it's energy. It's not, you know, it's a frequency. We don't have the mechanics to test that yet. Or if we do, it's not in the hands of the doctors. You know, it's, you know, maybe the government does. I wouldn't know, but.
So well, I think that, you know, talking about doctors, I think that, you know, they're doing the best they can with the education that they have. But when you think about their education, I mean, it's pretty limited. You know, we've really expanded a lot energetically.
Yeah.
And there's so much that, you know, is just really foreign to the more traditional doctors. And I'm not surprised that, you know, tests come back saying there's nothing wrong. I've had that happen to me as well. And so, you know, I guess what I do now is, you know, I just check in with my inner being. Okay, is this something to go to the doctor about, or do I just handle myself?
Right on, Barbara. Right on. Because it's important to know. Because, you know, like I said, I'm not saying don't go to the doctor, but if you're going to go have a test that's going to say nothing's there, you know, and that's going to create doubt, you know, there's other ways to work through what's happening. And you know, a lot of times it's very basic. It, you know, drinking more water, putting yourself, you know, in contact with nature, and rest. You know, these are not... And
yeah.
People are like, how would you know? And I'm like, look at the children. They do all of that naturally.
Right.
You know,
right. And there's one more thing. There's one more thing.
Please.
It's be playful. You know, don't be upset because, oh, my body's not doing what I want it to do. I had different plans today for it, right? It's be playful about it and say, okay, so I get to take a little nap, you know, so what?
You
know, be more childlike, right?
Right on, absolutely. See, you know what's so funny? I don't think of play as something to add because, I've been a nanny for the last 20 years because when I realized I could get paid to play, I mean, that was the, and I didn't, like, I have bosses, but, you know, I'm with the kids 12 hours a day, you know, I'm with the parents 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes at night, you know.
And you play
other
all
than
the
that,
time.
It's, exactly. I mean, it's like, and I mean, I just went, okay, this, I mean, that was my passion. My passion was to play. I didn't even know kids were my passion when I first started nannying. Until I started nannying and realized I could make money being a mom and playing. It's like, this is just, you know, I was
heaven.
Just in hog heaven. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right.
But I do recognize that many adults, you know, what part of the thing, I think, the conditioning of, quote unquote, of being a grown-up was we had to get serious. That seemed like it was part of the conditioning.
Well, it's part of our history, and therefore we did get that conditioning as we were growing up. But what's so wonderful about when you hit, you know, the 40s and 50s is that you start to reevaluate all of that, and you say,
right.
You know what? I don't think I want to do that anymore. I really do think I want to have more playtime because, you know, it's not only is it healing, but it's a heck of a lot more fun.
Exactly. And it's healing. I mean, right on.
Yeah. So
it is healing. It's so true. I mean, which, you know, I'm just amazed at where we have come in our, you know, we're in 2011. We, you know, I just look at evolution, you know, humanity's evolution, and you know, on so many levels, you know, we have the internet and, you know, cell phones and, you know, our technology is just off the hook amazing. Our consciousness, not so much.
Yeah, well,
individually.
Yeah,
okay.
But you know what?
Yeah.
I will tell you, I have spotted a trend, at least in my practice. There are more and more people coming in that have curiosity about things that they really weren't that curious about before. They're much more interested in having more balance and having less stress and, you know, not worrying so much and, you know, recognizing that the old ways of doing things for some reason just aren't working for them anymore. They're not really understanding why, but they know they're not working. And coming in and saying, okay, there's got to be a different way. Or my mind is just, you know, always turning toward the negative, always the half glass empty instead of full, and I'm tired of that, and I want to change that. What do I do? So I'm seeing that. And I think that's really a wonderful, positive sign. Now, you know, and then there are some people that are even a little bit further along in their evolution, shall we say,
right.
where they're aware of energy and where they're aware of, you know, some of these other more spiritual factors that are going to enhance their lives.
Right. Right. Well, and see, I love it because you have a pulse because you've been doing it long enough to see that shift.
Yes.
So that is, you know, truly, I mean, that's encouraging. I mean, I tend to just, I'm a little bit in a bubble, so to speak, because I'm so deep down the rabbit hole. The only people around me are the awakened ones. You know what I mean? So but it doesn't give me, and I work with the kids who are, they're born awake. I mean, they really, I mean, I have a little oracle in a 3-year-old. You know, it's so fabulous because she speaks to these beings, and I totally trust, you know, that I get an insight from her questioning and communicating with them. You know, and it was so funny because she pulls it as a trump card on me, like, you know, she'll ask me, she likes the Beatles. So,
good for her.
Rock and roll to the Beatles. That's all good. But, you know, like every single day we're listening to the Beatles. I'm like, Sahana, can we play something else today? And she's like, no. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to play it anyway. Sometimes I got to be the big girl here. And I'm going to, and her answer to me is, I won't ask Lala's questions for you anymore. Like, oh my God. She pulled a power play on me.
Yeah, they're really savvy.
I was like, okay. Pardon me? I mean, I was just like, wow. I mean, she's 3, and she already knows that it's a power play with me because I'll check in with her because I just, there's an innocence and a connection that I, you know, for my own personal questions, I trust with her. And, you know, but she clearly gets that, you know, it's, she's got something, you know, she's hanging something over the Golden Hawk.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And, you know, you talk about children and how, you know, how happy they are. They just know how to do that more naturally and be playful and about the wisdom of nature. And it kind of reminds me of that phrase, you know, happy as a clam.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've heard it, you know. Often people wonder, well, how is it that clams are considered naturally happy? Well, you know, it's really interesting. I mean, do you know the story?
Nope. So I don't know what you're referencing. So please share.
Okay. Well, you know, so to answer the question, what is it that they know that we don't know? It's that they know that nature in its wisdom understands that it's better to be in harmony with what may appear to be imperfect, right? I mean, if you take clams, like oysters, and you know they form these layers of organic material over irritating grains of sand, you know, the sand that gets inside, and so they don't rage against that debris or fight to remove it like, you know, humans do. They would simply align with it and coat it with a smooth substance that makes it easier to live with. So clams know that this is a much better strategy than struggling, right? Because that's usually what we do. We struggle, we suffer, we don't like it, we complain. And, you know, it's good to remember that we can learn from nature. And one of the things that I learned from nature a long time ago was to be happy as a clam. So the next time, if you have an irritation, and I'm talking to all your listeners out there, next time when an irritation surfaces with another person or situation or whatever it is, just think of it as a clam thing and keep smiling.
Right on. I'm with you on that. Well, and you know, it's so funny because the more I evolve, the more I recognize that everything is beneficial that happens in my experience. Everything. From the insult to my feelings being hurt by a, you know, an intimate experience. Everything is for the benefit because I have chosen for everything to be the benefit. You know, I tell people, like, you know, you need a goal on some level. And I'm not a big person on goals necessarily. This is not about a goal of, you know, in 5 years I'm going to be here. A goal for the present that, you know, what's your goal? Is your goal to be healthy? Is your goal to be happy? Is your goal to be, and I say the goal that you make, and I don't know if this is in alignment. I'm curious, actually, if it is or isn't. I tell them, your goal doesn't have to necessarily be from the top goal. It should only be ineffective for self. In other words, you know, you can't make your number one goal being in a relationship with another.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you need somebody else to play with you, per se. And the initial goal from the top down should always be about self. You know, and they're like, isn't that selfish? And I'm like, no, that's soulful. You know, this is because the only one that's going to go with you through all of this guaranteed and isn't leaving is self.
Exactly.
So I always tell people, you know, make the number one goal to get to know yourself, because when we're in a relationship, especially women, I mean, what I've found is we tend to, you know, we're the pleasers. And so it's not necessarily what we want. It's about pleasing our partners or pleasing our children. And I'm not, you know, there's nothing inherently wrong with that. But if you're only doing that and you're not pleasing self, there's something very wrong with that, because it's unauthentic. You know, it's got to come from the space of I'm filled up. And then in my filledness, I'm overflowing to give to everybody. You know, there's no energy draining. I don't need somebody in my life from the energy point of view. And this is where I know where energy makes a difference. If my energy comes from source, it comes from nature, it comes from going within, and it comes from my connection to beings that have already, you know, exposed and expressed themselves within my field of energy and frequency. And I'm just expanding from that. But I see all the time these codependent relationships, even with mothers and children, where, you know, when it really strikes is empty nest, you know. And it doesn't even have to happen at college. The minute the kid can start dating or having, you know, sleepovers, you know, I have friends of mine that they're like, you know, oh my God, what am I going to do with myself? It's like, well, why don't you find you? You know, like, live for yourself. And when you do understand it from the energetic point of view, what you're ultimately doing is you're not feeding off your children. You feed off of a source that is unlimited and eternal. And that is, you know, plenty of streams of consciousness, 12th dimensional, 5th dimensional. You know what I mean? There's plenty of them out there. And so I don't know what my point was. This stuff with you. I should be asking you questions, though, because I feel like I you are the expert.
Well, let me just comment on what you said.
Okay.
You know, it's something that I see a lot. People look toward receiving their fullness from outside of themselves, and the problem with that is that never works. You know, it works maybe temporarily, and this is where people get confused, because, you know, especially if they meet somebody and, you know, you feel a connection with an individual, and then you feel filled up temporarily, because in that moment you're both, you know, projecting love onto each other, right?
Right,
and,
right.
And so you think, oh, I'm feeling good because of this person. But no,
right.
You're actually feeling good because you're having good, loving thoughts about the person that you're speaking to in the moment, the person that's
right.
in front of you, you see?
Right.
So it's coming from you, but people think it's coming from the external, and that's why people keep seeking for love in the wrong places, if you will, because
right.
that can never
right.
work. So the answer is to, as you were saying, Goldie, develop your relationship with yourself and, you know, fill yourself up, because, A, you can do that. You have it within you to do that. You have control over that. You can be, you know, you can be in love with yourself and remind yourself of the things that you really appreciate about yourself, right? Which is a very healthy thing to do from a self-worth standpoint. And then when you're enjoying life because you're saying, you know what, I feel so good about myself, it's okay if I'm with somebody or if I'm not with somebody. And that's when you have more people flock into your circle, because now you're really fun to be with.
Yeah, right on.
You're
right
not
on.
Needy.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, codependency is really about, you know, I'm feeding up on your energy. You know, I remember in my life when I used to, I mean, these are words I remember saying, I'm not beautiful unless a man has told me I am.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe that. You know, it's amazing to come full circle because, I mean, this is a day when I was, you know, dyeing my hair, getting my nails done, doing tanning, putting on makeup, putting myself in jeans that were just so tight I could barely sit down. And now, you know, the irony, of course, is, you know, I wear sweats, no makeup, a headband. My hair is natural, no hair, no nails, no, you know, and I feel beautiful. Now, that's not to say I don't have insecurities. I tend to find my insecurities come up, and this is kind of why I like dancing with people. My insecurities come up when I do start having attractions to people, and it brings up stuff that, you know, I can't necessarily do alone in the woods. You know what I mean? I can fill up on my love in the woods and have been doing so since 2001 when my mom died. Because it was very ironic to me. The only place I felt safe after my mother died was the forest. I didn't understand it. I didn't care to understand it. I just knew it was a fact. And we had a very we had a loving relationship, but we were dysfunctional from head to toe. And so when she died, I was 35 years old, and I went in. It's like the umbilical cord was really cut at that point, and I just collapsed. Where I didn't think I could function. I was like, who's going to protect me? She was very much a part of my love, but it was very much, I mean, from an energetic point of view, my source of energy had left. And oh my God, I didn't know what I was going to do. I couldn't breathe. So, you know, I mean, that's just when she died. You know, I mean, I grew up, you know, on pretty much like everybody else, you know, watching the Brady Bunch and Partridge Family and, you know, trying to be, you know, a certain size and look a certain way and carry a certain handbag. And, like, all of these things, ultimately, like you said, never worked for me. I mean, I mean, I've always been different, but I have not been different in that I've sought, you know, the soulmate, the partner that was going to make my dreams come true. You know, I can remember saying, I won't travel unless, you know, until I'm with my man.
Oh.
And, you know, and then all of a sudden I realized, well, Goldie, what if you don't meet him? and I have a true desire to travel. And so, I you know, because I recommend to people, do things so you set yourself up to succeed. So what I did is, when I wanted to travel alone, but I was clearly frightened to do so, I went to places where I knew there was going to be people of like mind. So, like, I went to Sedona, Arizona.
Okay.
Because beautiful, the Red Rock was the first time, when I saw the Red Rock in Phoenix driving to Sedona, was the first time landscape ever brought me to tears.
Yeah.
It was stunning. I mean, Mother Nature paints a picture. I mean, she rocked it, and all puns
intended. Yeah.
You know, so I went to a place where it was clear that even though I was traveling alone, you know, every other corner there's crystal places and psychics and dream people, and so, you know, it was a wonderful point to get to, because that led me inevitably to move to Buffalo, New York by myself, which there was a tremendous amount of wilderness. And I tell people, because I'm a big component on facing fears, and, mm-hmm. and instead of me babbling. So do you have, and I'm sure, I mean, it must show up in your practice that, you know, people coming in and, you know, what I call being paralyzed by their fears.
Well, most, obviously, all people have some fears, right? There isn't a human being that doesn't have an occasional fear.
No, indeed.
So sure, people have fears. You know, it can be a fear of either being in a relationship or not having a relationship. It can be a fear of, you know, the worrier kind of personality type who, you know, wastes a lot of time and energy on being concerned about disasters and, you know, what-if scenarios that are all negative. So, you know, there's that. People have a lot of stress and worry about their health. So, sure, I mean, there's, and I help people with their fears. And I, you know, I tailor my approach to, A, what the fear is, and how is it showing up for that person, and what it, you know, what do they know that works for them that they've tried that maybe they just don't commit to doing on a regular basis, or do we need to arrive at a new strategy that's going to work better for them? So, you know, that's what we do during the coaching process. And, you know, if you want, if you have a fear that's showing up for you that you want to get some help with, then by all means, let me know.
Right, right.
You want
to
practice it now,
or in general?
Well,
right.
I'm saying to you, if you want, if you're, you know, game. If this feels like
yeah,
right
no, well,
for
I mean,
you,
yeah, you know, that's you're so sweet. I have actually done a lot of on-air healing work that, and I'm completely open to that. Let me see. You know,
Well, check in with
I've been at this for so long. Yeah, I tend to just know if it's my fear. I mean, like I had a fear. I'll share. Like, I had a fear recently. A gentleman from Facebook has listened to the show and liked what he heard, and you know, we started speaking on the phone, and he lives in Denver. He lives in Colorado. So we started talking, and I could all my stuff started coming up, my insecurities of, you know, I tend to go insecure on how I look, which is funny because I used to be insecure on how I looked, and, you know, I was really, quote-unquote, polished. You know, like I said, the hair, the nails, the skin,
right.
You know, there wasn't a part of me that I didn't essentially put a mask over. But it, you know, from a society point of view, you know, I wouldn't say I was beautiful, but I was pretty cute. Where now it's like, it's that whole organic aspect of, you know, I want to be loved for who I am. I want to be liked for who I am. But, you know, as I processed the emotions that were coming up and the energies, because I saw that in the first week we started talking, I was really, I glommed onto him energetically.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't have a lot of experience. You know, I've had relationships in my life that they last for years. You know, like I'll come in and out, but I have like staples of people that I go to for intimacy, I go to, you know, for we're there for each other, you know, for both of us, you know, me and the gentleman. But we kind of all know that we're not going into eternity. You know, I'd still like to have a child, and I don't have that with them. So, you know, when something new comes along, these fears come up. But the way I handled it, well, I called up a friend who does DNA work, energetic DNA work.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Okay. And she shifted me, and what came for me was the clarity of, you know, it was like all of a sudden there was this thing running in my head, like I was running away from my life. Like I was like, I'm going to go live in Colorado. You know, we're going to meet, we're going to fall in love, you know, and it was like, I mean, truth be told, I love my life here. I really do. I mean, me and my dad have a fantastic relationship. I live with him right now. I have my radio show. I have the kids and the family that, I mean, they're not just, you know, great. They're family. You know, I'm in a place in my life where I'm not taking care of babies anymore, and the parents are very much, I mean, I just took out their garage door a few weeks ago, and they couldn't show me more compassion, you know, and that's what I'm all about. I just want to be around compassionate, open-hearted, beautiful people, you know, from a job standpoint, from a personal relationship standpoint, from a radio standpoint, you know. And I get that, you know, I'm also here to touch, you know, many people, but when my girlfriend did the DNA work, I mean, it's like it shifted me, and I was, you know, I basically went, okay, listen, because he essentially said after I glommed on him, I don't want anything to do with you. And, of course, it was the day after I bought the plane ticket to go out there.
Oh,
I was like, you couldn't tell me that yesterday, huh? And, you know, but again, my girlfriend who did the DNA work, she goes, well, maybe you're supposed to go out there on your own. And again, you know, that's how spirit works. You know, I tell people spirit will send you your things you need. They just might not be wrapped in the, you know, the color paper that you thought they were going to be wrapped in, or, you know, it's like the stones say, you know, you don't get what you want, you get what you need. So getting, without being long-winded, yep, right?
Go ahead.
So I'm recognizing that. Now, actually, me and the gentleman are talking again, so which I'm happy about, because ultimately I just wanted him to know that I had to get triggered in those spaces in order to become aware that I had beliefs that needed flipping.
Right.
That's my whole gig right now, is every belief that comes up, if it doesn't feel beneficial to me, then I need to look at it, own it, and flip it.
Right, and he gave you that opportunity by showing up, and, you know, it might be something else that you two are going to be, you know, doing together or spending time together, but we don't really know that yet.
Right.
Here's what happens, though. Here's what happens, because, again, this is a very typical pattern, especially for women. And I think part of it has to do with the whole Cinderella myth.
Oh, you're right, you know? On the money with that, because I get that I'm waiting for someone to save me. That was the belief. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's so, well, think about it. I mean, we all grew up with that. It's so ingrained.
Right.
And we grew up with it as children when we're much more susceptible to these kinds of concepts. And so, you know, that's been in our subconscious for a very long time. So it got triggered with this person. Now, of course, the reason that, you know, you experienced and he experienced, you know, what the fallout of that is, because when we automatically, and I know how automatic this can be, when we automatically project, oh, this, you know, this could be someone I would move for, that I would marry, that I would have kids with, you know, the whole nine yards. What happens is you put so much pressure on yourself for, oh, I better not screw that up. I better be perfect. I better look perfect. I better this. I better that. And, of course, there's pressure on the guy. He needs to be just so. Otherwise, you know, well, then, you know, that's not going to work. And then what? And, you know, I do want to have a child. And you see what I mean? So
absolutely.
This is what we do to ourselves.
Absolutely.
And by recognizing the pattern, which is what you did, you know, that's the first step, of course, is the awareness of it. And then you talk to your friend and you got some help. But you also realize that patterns require attention. And so whenever you feel that pattern shows up again, next time you'll catch it much more quickly, because that's how it works once you increase your awareness about it, right? And then you can use your techniques to help you deconstruct those thoughts that you typically have, which is fast-forwarding into the future, and you're already in Denver with a house and kids.
Right, right, right. That's so, yeah, no, that's brilliant, because that's exactly what, because I think I'm okay until I'm not, you know, because one of the things that I know for myself is that the work that I've done has mostly been, because it's so funny, I'm coming full circle. I was molested as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So the first part of my journey into counseling and self-discovery was learning not to be afraid to be alone.
Yeah.
Because that whole safety issue was, you know, that's a major aspect that I believe happens when we're physically violated. Now nothing in the world feels safe.
Sure.
And I mean, and for me it manifested as I was phobic about being alone, which is so funny because you would think you'd want to be alone because because I was violated. So that means somebody had to be there. You would think you would go the other way, but the mind works the way the mind works. And
yeah, it's not logical.
It's not logical. It's exactly right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I went for like 10 years, you know, between hypnotherapist and regular therapist, and I healed that. And so it's almost like my pendulum is now swinging back the other way, because I know I need time alone, because that is where I connect to my source in nature. And it's not that I wouldn't, I mean, I would love to meet a guy that loves to camp, and this gentleman does, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
But there's still an essence of just me, you know, with nature, not having to be on or responsive or, you know what I mean, to anyone but me. You know, it's like where I regroup. But, you know, but the truth is, and it's funny because I've been talking on this with Facebook lately, you know, I always tell people the soulmate you're looking for is really the essence of your own being in that connection. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, and people are like, well, listen, but it's inherent. People, why do all of us seek, you know, it doesn't seem natural, and I'm not sure if this is or not, but it doesn't seem natural to be alone all the time. And, like, that feels right to me. Like, it does seem we seek each other out, you know, whether it be friends or lovers or
mm-hmm.
family. So, and when they say that, I'm like, you know, you're absolutely right. So now it's a matter of finding balance between being alone for me and feeling, I'm good with that now. I'm good with being alone. Now it's my stuff comes up with relationships, but it's not coming up with these gentlemen that I've had in my life for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. Because we're all, whatever triggers we had, I've completed those triggers. You know, I
mm-hmm.
need new triggers.
Well, you want new triggers? Okay.
Well, I want, because ultimately, if there's a belief in there, the only way I'm going to experience
yeah.
it is for it to be triggered. So it's, do I want them? No. But am I realistic and say, because I understand that the emotions, from what I've heard, is the emotions, the minute the trauma happened to me, emotionally I shut down at that point.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I've been working on myself, but I mean, I'm essentially probably about 15 right now, emotionally. So I need to, you know, I'd like to, I don't know, I don't want to say I want to become a grown-up, but I want to mature, I want to experience a mature, healthy, intimate relationship. And
so, do you know what that looks like? I mean, have you visualized it? Have you written it down, or whatever method you like to use? I mean, could you clearly describe that?
Biggest thing for me is I want the gentleman to at least be aware of what I call the quantum leap, which is my emotions are mine, his emotions are his.
Mm-hmm.
Like, blame and the blame game and the shame game, they've got to be beyond that, because if I'm willing to take full responsibility for my emotions, but I can't take responsibility for yours too, because then you're not doing anything. You know, the partner,
yeah.
my, and that's basically I've you know, worked with the gentlemen that are in my life now, trying to get them there, but that's when I surrender and go, okay, listen, just accept them. They are where they're at, and, you know, I kind of just put my energy out there. Now, this gentleman in Colorado he's in AA, which is very much, I find, the space where men deal with their emotions. I mean,
uh-huh.
more than any other spiritual practice, AA seems to, you know what I'm saying, allow men to process. Yeah.
yeah.
So, and then, of course, we have, the, you know, the planet. So, I mean, beyond that, I know that that is one of the qualifications, that at least if I can have that.
Well, what
I'm
saying, though, yeah, I mean, qualifications, yeah, that's good, too. I mean, you know, whether it's how, you know, what kind of spiritual development you're seeking and that kind of compatibility. But what I'm saying is, in terms of how you will be together, how will it feel, and how much time are you going to spend together, and what kinds of stimulating conversation are you going to have, or what kind of activities are you going to do, just to bring it more into daily living. What, how will you be interacting
right.
with this special person?
Well, I mean, you know, it's always for me. Here are the things that I adore. Okay, I adore sensuality. I process through touch.
Yeah, but what does that mean? I like holding hands, or I like
holding
cuddling
hands,
or, you know.
Cuddling, snuggling, brushing hair, whether it be my hair or his hair. Just the art of touching. I'm very.
Okay.
That is, and it's funny because one of the gentlemen in my life is autistic. He doesn't barely touch at all. I mean, he's
right.
all in the mind. So that really, you know, it's like, okay, I want the touch. But the other gentleman that I have does touch. So, I mean, there is that. But, okay, so I like touching. I like I said, the camping. I want them. I would love nature. I mean, I'm not one that does malls. I do forests. So, you know, I would love to spend time, you know, traveling the globe. I would love to travel to the hot spots of the world, you know, the Egypts and the Machu Picchus and
mm-hmm.
Hawaii and volcanoes and caverns and taverns and, you know, forests.
And you want to do this with this person? Because I'm not hearing the we in there. I'm hearing I. So, well, as you are creating this, and pre-paving this vision,
okay.
you know, what I think would help is if you would insert a little bit more of you and, you know, we are doing this. I know you're used
okay.
to thinking in
okay.
terms of I because you're, you know, you're on your own. But even with your language, start including that, and then we would be traveling to Machu Picchu, you see.
Okay, no, indeed, because I think I have, well, first of all, I don't think I've ever spoken of that in my writings. Shucks, I've only written about meeting him. I've never written about the life we would have after.
Well,
so.
Doesn't that tell you something, Goldie?
Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, Barbara, there is clarity just moving from that. No, indeed.
Well, that's about
okay.
as far as you were willing to go, but I'm feeling that you're willing to go further, so it's probably time to start writing about that.
Indeed. Well, and I'm such a component. I saw a friend of mine. She wrote a screenplay in 21 days about meeting her soulmate.
Uh huh.
And like 6 months later, she met the guy. And literally, when it came, but they were on the phone. They didn't meet. And I was like, you didn't write about it. You wrote about meeting him, but you never wrote about living with him, and how is life going to be in, you know, chapter 21, which
go.
Is when you're actually. So indeed, you know, it's so funny how we can give out, you know, we can dish out the medicine, but no, indeed, that's brilliant. And I hear you, we hear you.
There you go, even better.
Yeah. Thank you. No, that's beautiful because that's truth. That is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it does work. I mean, I've had clients who have come to me with that goal, and you know, once they got really clear, not just about what some of the qualities and traits are that they were looking for in a potential mate, but also how they wanted to interact with each other and be with each other, you know, after that, boy, it can come pretty quickly. you know,
especially in this energy.
Absolutely. Within 6 months is not unusual.
Yeah.
And that's assuming you stay open and you don't have conflicting thoughts about having a relationship. So that's another thing to take a look at is, you know, when you think about having a relationship, is it one of those where you say, well, you know, this would be really nice. I would really like to have somebody to do this with. But you know what? I really do. I wouldn't want to have that much time with them. I really want to make sure I have time for this and this and this. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah,
so
yeah. You got to be clear in what you
say
want.
Well,
okay.
It's being clear, but it's how you phrase it. Because if you say, well, I want this, but I don't want this, if that's what's showing up in your energy, then you're not going to move forward, you see. But
right.
If you say, I want this, and here's how I want it, meaning we're not going to be joined at the hip, we're not going to, you know, see each other and spend 24 hours together with each other day after day, if that's not what you want. Do you see what I mean? You write it out in terms of what you want, and then you no longer have those conflicting thoughts about what you don't want, which then just causes everything to slow down.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I see what you're saying, right? Be precise on what you want, right? Because, see, this is where it's important for me to be clear. Because I know I have Cinderella in me. I mean, I have seen it. And, you know, because I've seen it when it came up this time, it was like, oh, nip that in the bud. But what happens is then I go to the other side and go, okay, I'm just good being by myself.
Right, that's the conflicting thought.
Right.
You're saying, yeah, you know, you're going, as you said, overboard in the one area, but then when you pull yourself back, then you go to the other extreme, and what you want to do is go back to the center.
Exactly.
But if you don't know what the center looks like because you haven't written about it and you haven't really fantasized about it, then it's harder to do.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I will write about this. I will bring that because it's, you know, I used to say don't go there until you meet them. You know, first you got to get to the, you know, I need an interest. But the truth of the matter is it's in my conflict that, you know, there could have been plenty of interest. But I'm, because what was interesting is he was trying to get my attention for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And I said to myself, I was like, this is very unusual because I usually have my radar. If there is a single man, you know, within my vicinity, even just remotely attracted to me, I'm usually on that. And what my girlfriend said to me, she goes, maybe you weren't recognizing it because I'm used to dating or being attracted to my shadow. I've done a lot of shadow work.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, this gentleman is reflecting to you your light,
mm-hmm.
not your shadow. And it was like, you know, that was literally a light bulb and a bell went off in my head. And I was like, wow, that's right on the money.
Yeah.
I mean that, and it, similar to what you're saying, it's like, I got to, you know, look for the light now because I've been doing shadow work for so many years now.
Right.
That, you know, it's like, you know, I'm on a treadmill, and I don't want to be on this treadmill anymore. It's like, because I feel pretty clear on that work, you know.
Exactly. So, well, you've realized that, okay, I've been focusing on the shadows so much that, you know, now I keep bringing in shadows, and I don't want shadows anymore. So that means
exactly. You
also need to focus on the light and let that expand. And then you'll recognize the light when you see it, and you'll welcome it.
Absolutely, because I'm focusing on it. That's exactly
right.
It. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is that's a law of attraction, essentially.
Essentially.
Yeah, because what's interesting that I want people to know, too, about the law of attraction will work stronger from your subconscious than it will from your conscious. So, like, what you know, Barbara, what was beautiful, what you just did is you aligned me with my subconscious. That's brilliant. Because aware of it,
pardon? I like to work with both, you know, the subconscious and the conscious.
Right, right. But if there's no work with the subconscious, a lot of times you can be, you know, going, well, I'm wanting this, I'm wanting this. Why isn't this coming? It's like, well, what's your subconscious saying? Because I believe we're always getting what we desire. If we're not, you know, conscious of it, then you could be getting something completely opposite of what you're saying you're wanting.
Well, alignment is important, and alignment shows up in a lot of different ways, right? So, you know, you've got it, your thoughts have to be in alignment, your feelings have to be in alignment, your actions have to be in alignment, but then, you know, your various levels of consciousness have to be in alignment as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, alignment. But once alignment is made, see, so that's a good, I mean, you know, going back to that original, that's a great goal, right, to set, to be in alignment in all of your bodies, you know, whether physical,
right,
emotional, mental, or spiritual. Because when alignment is happening, I believe manifestation is spontaneous. I mean,
sure,
you know, there's a lot of power in alignment.
Absolutely.
And self-empowerment, not power over, but
power
of.
Right,
right,
inner power.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Inner power, exactly. And
Yeah,
definitely.
Well, and then I know you know this because you said something similar earlier, but I think it's so important, you know, and also for your listeners out there to realize that all choices serve a purpose.
Right.
All choices. So all the choices we've made thus far have served a purpose because they help us to get to the awareness that we have now, rather
Absolutely.
Than many people who beat themselves up on having had a choice that perhaps they're not happy with themselves or other people. And I know where it comes from. I mean, we've been conditioned to think in terms of right or wrong.
Right.
And we all
failure,
want right
success.
Choices. Yeah.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Especially when it comes to things like relationship, the right relationship, the right career, the right that. But, the emphasis on getting everything right implies that there's only one right decision for every choice to be made, and everything else is either wrong or a mistake. And that's simply not true.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. Yep.
It really depends on the context and what you want to accomplish and experience and what you're ready to accomplish and experience right now. And sometimes we need to take some additional steps in order to get to where we think we really want to be, right? You know, this phrase, I know it's probably overused by now, but it is all good because it serves a purpose.
Right.
Right. Moves you forward.
Well, it's so funny. I keep answering, and every time we bring, because I'm like, right, right. And it's like, no, Goldie, get a new word. Because I don't want to say right. Because it implies it could be wrong.
But your choice serves a purpose in the moment, because now you're saying, you're challenging yourself to reach for something else. And so that's beautiful.
Agreed.
So it still serves a purpose, you see.
Indeed. Because sometimes I'll listen to a show and I'll go like, yes, and there you are, Goldie, saying right. It's like, but it's agreeing. Yes. I used to tell people when I was doing the show, truly, that I was failing my way to success. Because, now, I don't quote-unquote necessarily run a professional show where I'm taking breaks and, you know, I'm plugging this and plugging that. And in fact, most of the time I'm underselling myself, and it just is what it is. You know, I love that it's my show because with all its, you know, pointy edges, so to speak, from a professional standpoint, there's a real heart and soul to the show because I bring it, and my guests come on, and they bring it. And
mm-hmm.
to me, that just speaks volumes, because those that are genuinely seeking the path of enlightenment, you know, they come here and they recognize, you know, we're going to talk about shadows, or, you know, or I'll process on the air. I have no shame whatsoever of processing on the air. I love it because I think it absolutely serves a purpose that, you know, especially when I'm talking about relationships, these are definitely, you know, these are major, you know, these are pretty general issues, I mean, of many, many people out there right now. So if in our working, you know, this out on the air helps somebody else, I'm delighted. It doesn't get better than that. Whether I do a commercial at the top of the hour or not, that's my purpose, to play with this. And I used to, you know, when I first got on the air, because I tell people, like, when the gentleman who offered me the radio show, when he offered it to me, I had never in my life set an intention to be on the radio, nothing like that. You know, I mean, the only thing that really prepared me for this is I had a long history of talking on the phone with friends of mine about spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I recognized, I mean, because when I first got on the air, I was actually working or broadcasting out of a radio station in Providence, Rhode Island. So, you know, I bought the equipment with the headphones and the microphone.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, you know, that was a lot of fun. But, I mean, Blog Talk Radio, me and you are literally on the phone right now having a conversation about all things spiritual, and I'm also realizing practical and physical. I've definitely evolved with that as well. And so, you know, but when I first got on the air, my girlfriend called the radio station. I was actually doing a guest spot on the gentleman who made the offer to me. And, you know, she called up and goes, "Breathe, Goldie, breathe." And I'm like, I can't. You know, there's obviously some, you know, I get these reality shows, you know, when people are like, they're not acting natural. It's like, well, I mean, on some level, whether it's metaphorically or literally, when that red button of "we're on the air" goes on, there's an acknowledgement of that. On some level, there's an acknowledgement of that, and that's part of the joy. But in the beginning, that was absolutely part of the paralyzing fear.
Oh, sure. We've all been through that.
Yeah. But I knew it was my passion to do this. I knew I was born to talk on the air. At least, am I going to make a career in doing this for the next 25, 35 years? I don't know, but I know right now there's, like, I created the niche. Because of my work that I've done with the shadows, I'm not afraid to speak of my own darkness. And I understand that from the point of view of I don't have shame of it. I'm transparent, because you can't hurt me if I have no secrets. Secrets are killers in this energy. I mean, just, oh my God, talk about a demon in the room, and it's your own demon. So I try to let you know, the whole idea of, you know, family secrets or things that have happened that, you know, we're ashamed of. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll, I've done them all. I've spoken all, you know, in depth and still open to talking about them. But for the point, you know, not to cry my, you know, pity party on the air, but to show people that, listen, you know, that's only a part of who we are. The essence of who we are is stunning, you know, is light, is brilliant, you know, this genuine soul. You know, God does not, God doesn't judge us for what we do. In fact, God is the one that was in my shadow with me. God has a shadow.
Okay.
You know, and I say that because we came to a polarized dimension to experience polarization. That means something had to be good and something had to be bad. It's inherent in the reality. If it's inherent in the reality, that means it's meant to be there. And there is, like you were saying, there is purpose in quote-unquote, you know, something dark or something bad. And if there's purpose, then God's in it. That's my definition. And, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, right now feel, you know, like, you know, God wouldn't let these things happen on the planet right now. And I don't buy into that belief. I buy into the belief of, you know, change is. I mean, it's one of the constants in science, and
right.
It's part of, you know, the makings of our universe. And it's not to say it's not a tremendously, you know, hard time, and there's not sadness and compassion. But, you know, it's just inherent part of the universe that we chose to be a part of. You know, we can be here as victims or we can be here as champions. And I was a victim for the first 30 years of my life. I just can't go there anymore. You know, I mean, now I'm learning that, like, even what you spoke of tonight, that I see myself swing to the other side where it's like, you know, I'm a champion, but I'm standing here, you know, kind of as an island. And, like, because one of the things I'm trying to work with is even being in a community. I tend to ostracize myself out of communities.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the energy inherently keeps saying to me, you know, it's pulling me towards community. And it's not that, you know, there's a certain community I can play with. And children, I mean, you could put me in a room with 35 kids and I'd be fine. It's 35 individual adults with individual, you know, belief systems and, you know, I don't quite know how to blend organically in that experience either.
Tell me more.
I don't know. Pardon?
Tell me more about that.
Okay.
You're telling
yeah,
me about blending.
This is good. Okay, yeah, this is very good. Okay, so a woman recently invited me into her community, a community of healers. And I was very excited because I haven't, quote-unquote, done hands-on healing work in a few years, but, I mean, I'm very confident in my hands-on healing.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the meeting, and I was triggered. And actually, I haven't done any work around this, so this is good. I was triggered because what I ended up doing is, as the healers were speaking about, you know, I guess their expectations and what they were bringing to the table, I immediately went into the space of, you know, defending the shadow. And, you know, and it became clear to me that, you know, the only shadow in the room was me.
Okay.
You know, it's like, I mean, and then I just went, listen, you guys are all fantastic. There was one woman in particular. It was interesting. One woman in particular that I think I actually did it to you tonight as well. I mean, I just came right out of the bat and was like, okay, listen, I don't have any letters after my name. I don't believe in religion, or religion has not inspired me. My religion is nature. And, like, I came out with my first three comments, which was no letters, no religion, and something else. And the woman sitting directly across me, you know, was a woman who was very religious, and she had, you know, come up from the ranks of poverty to get her PhD. You know, I couldn't have been more insulting to her story without intentionally doing that. And it's like I see myself do that. I mean, because, like, tonight, you know, I was like, I didn't want to be corporate. It was too judgmental. And it's like, holy foot, you know, and then it was like, you know, right off the bat, you know, like, well, I'm in corporate. And it's like, yeah, Goldie, well, that was a brilliant thing to say now, wasn't it?
But you know what's interesting about that is that, you know, it's like I, you know, until you just mentioned it now, I didn't even remember you doing that. Now I do because you brought it up. But
right.
I didn't even remember it.
Well, and that's, I think, because you have a neutrality. In other words, because it's only my story. You know, I wouldn't.
Exactly.
I don't tell anybody not to be corporate. I wouldn't, as well as, you know, it didn't work for me to follow, quote unquote, because I've been a rebel all my life. And
yeah.
I think I go into communities so used to being ostracized that it's almost like I beat them to the punch. And so even in today where I'm in a room full of, quote-unquote, like pretty much like-minded people, in other words, you know, they're all doing something something alternative, you know, Reiki or John of God or, you know, whatever they were doing, prayer. And but my body became like I was really I felt very tense and very constricted. while I was sitting at this table. Now, the one thing I didn't know until I had gotten there was I didn't realize that their goal was to kind of attract in Western medicine with them. And I tend to be very anti-Western medicine. For personal reasons, plus, I mean, we're Jewish. We've got doctors in the family. And, you know, now they're much better. But growing up with them, you know, it's the Patch Adams. You know, they were just, you know, these mega egomaniacs in the family. And, you know, it's like, you just want to hold up a mirror and go, this is the healer. Yeah. As you're screaming your judgments, I just want you to look and say, this is the healer, you know. So there's personal experiences, quote-unquote, with Western medicine. And I thought it was going to be a community of, you know, the light working. And I didn't know that. But nonetheless, I didn't handle it with grace at all. I was, you know, when the meeting ended, I basically pulled one woman aside and said, I apologize, you know, to the woman I offended, because I clearly saw that I had done that too. And of course, you know, I spoke before she did, but I know her story, and, you know, she's tremendous. She's a tremendous soul. I mean, she really came from the ranks of an abusive relationship. I mean, she had been shot in the head by her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And after that got her PhD. You know, God, bravo, bravo. Are you kidding me? That's tremendous courage and tremendous tenacity and perseverance. And, you know, and I'm throwing the letters out like they're, you know, ABC soup. And, you know,
it's like, cool. So, okay, so let's go back to you for a second.
Okay, please.
So what I heard you saying is that, you know, you wanted to blend with these healers, but then you also told me that it really wasn't a good match for you. So, you know, I'm not surprised that you didn't blend, but I think the more important thing is, are you, you know, when did you feel that tenseness in the body? Were you noticing that before you spoke with this woman?
No, I was noticing that as the meeting was going on. When they started bringing in, the facilitator of the meeting started bringing in the goals of the group, you know, because I thought we were starting a healing, they were starting a healing center, but like I said, they're really looking to, the woman who's facilitating this is really looking to bridge Western and holistic medicine,
right,
which I definitely honor. I wasn't aware of that factor. I thought it was more like, you know, let's start a center, and we're just going to network where, you know, like I can do energy work, and this one does massage work, and this one does, you know, dance and movement, you know what I'm saying, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but I'm curious about what your body was telegraphing to you and at what point.
Okay, so I would say within 10 minutes after the meeting started, which was just the facilitator talking, who's one of my dearest friends, constriction. I mean, tension in my belly. My knee started, you know, when you do the with your leg, that nervous energy thing.
Yep.
And I don't do that on average, but I do that when I'm in an uncomfortable situation.
Okay.
So
what have you done in the past when you've had that kind of body sensation, that constriction? How do you handle that? How do you relieve it?
Well, that's an excellent question. Truth be told, what I normally do, I make some kind of grand exit where I'm like falling off a chair, falling out of a room. I don't handle that well. It's like I become stuttering. You know, I fall apart.
Okay. So what would happen if, When you notice it earlier, before it gets more noticeable and intense, what if you paid attention to your body a little bit more, so that when you started to see the warning signs in the very beginning, how would that help you?
Well, okay, awareness is always, that's a key player in any game. So the awareness of that is I could start breathing because breathing immediately can calm me down.
Right. Good.
And what I desire to do but have not done is I desire to listen more at that point and talk less.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to talk more at that point, and that's when it really starts just falling apart.
Right. But if you caught yourself earlier and you did your breathing, how would that impact your talking or not talking?
Well, you can't talk when you're deep breathing.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And what else, I mean, what else do you feel in your body then? What else does the breathing do for you?
Well, it would relax me. It does relax me. It just, it releases the tension.
Exactly. So
yeah.
What do you know that you need to do?
Release the tension.
Yeah, do your breathing.
And breathe, right. And not, because I, see, now that's a response. That's what, what I'm not doing is I'm reacting. I'm not responding.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you'll start to switch that. You'll be able to respond instead of react as you increase your awareness so that you can catch it earlier when it's much more manageable.
Oh, right on, sister. That's brilliant. Yes. Okay. Yes. Because, right, see, because once I'm relaxed, I'm much more carefree about other people's opinions.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, ah. Definitely. And it is, you know what's so beautiful about this? Sunday I have an event that I became a supporter. They asked me to come on to be a supporter, and, you know, I passed out flyers and, you know, because I got to keep trying. You know, I want to be a part of community. And this is, I think, really good timing because, you know, the last community didn't work for me. And like you said, I mean, it became clear, too, as I processed it, you know, in the woods and in my breathing, that the group really wasn't, you know, a frequency match for me. I don't want to work with Western medicine doctors. I'm not saying I don't honor the work. It's just not my work.
Right.
And you know, so, okay, so we move on to the next community. But in this community, they're public speaking and, you know, they're putting on events. This absolutely resonates with me as a community I want to get involved in because I would like to do public speaking. And ironically, I'm not afraid to public speak. You know, I mean, the radio is part of that, but I really, there's a level of confidence in what I have to say and what I have to share that I know I'm ready to do this. So this tip on breathing is, you know, mwah, thank you.
Well, you're very welcome.
I know most clients probably don't kiss you.
Well, I've been getting kisses through the phone lines recently.
Of course, a term of endearment. I mean, that was because that's so hard because it's a beautiful experience. What we're doing right now, I believe, is there's divinity in the timing of this, truly, and I'll keep you abreast, too, of the situation on Sunday because it's my new community that I'm putting energy towards, you know, and I, you know, it's interesting because we did a phone call, you know, all the supporters, and I tend to be, I told the woman who's running this, I tend to be the bull in the china shop. I'm very aggressive in that. If you give me a task, I'll get it done. And, you know, sometimes that's an exquisite, you know, it's good to have one bull on the team, I believe, because there's roadblocks and there's just certain things happening, you know, within our culture and in the moment in the time we're in where finesse might not work. You might need to literally push your way through a membrane. And I'm the girl to get that done. But I also recognize that all my life, you know, my desire was to be more tactful and more finesse. You know, again, the balance. Because when we did the call for the supporters, everything was going wonderful until somebody said that, you know, do we have to pay for our tickets to the event. And the woman who asked the question went into the position of, well, we should pay, you know, and she used, I'm using my fingers, we. And, you know, I had to speak up and say, listen, you know, I busted my hump passing out flyers for, you know, 2 full days. And I've paid for gas and, you know, I've taken time and energy and I'm not paying for this ticket mm-hmm. because my time and my energy are how I have contributed. And I'm not saying I didn't do this with absolute joy in my heart because I love the grassroots. You know, I spoke to people and it's where I shine and everybody knows it. People to people, you know, just the basic person, you know, they were about community and they wanted to hear that and they wanted to know that there was hope. And when I show up, I can, you know, it's in my energy. They can feel it, and I love it. You know, but I would have been okay if the woman didn't say we.
Yeah.
And then when she put the we on it, you know, again, my energy got tense.
Uh-oh.
And I come out of the gate, you know, like a dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, not so good from a... you know, from a community standpoint.
Well, the good news is that you know what to do about that.
Right. So the breathing is definitely, it is a panacea, too. I mean, it will heal it all. So thank
well,
you.
Well, it's critical for all of us to remember to do it because we so benefit from it. And, of course, everyone around us does as well.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I have an idea I'm going to throw out. How about if we have you meet with your wise future self? I can take you through that little...
Of course,
night.
Yes.
Do you like
I
that?
I love it. You know, I would love that. Absolutely. Okay.
All right. Well, that'll be... So I'm sure you're already sitting in a chair, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And speaking of breathing, I'm going to... ask you to take a few deep breaths, center yourself. Bringing your relaxation to both your body and your mind. And now with your eyes closed, imagine seeing golden white light all around you. And imagine it like it's a protective cocoon, so it feels really safe and comfortable. And now, notice an opening in the top of your head. Allow your awareness to rise from inside you and go out through the opening, taking your light with you. You are now in your light body, floating above your physical body. Now ask your unconscious mind to help you sense your lifeline. It knows how to do that easily. It will show you that your future extends in one direction and your past in another, because that's how we all organize our time. Now get a sense of your future direction. It can be front or side, behind, above, below, something like that. Just get a sense of it. And then allow yourself to gently float to just before the end of this lifetime to meet with your wise self. So we want to meet with your future you, your future wise self, while you're still active and wise, okay? Are you there?
I'm here.
Good. From this vantage point now, look back and review your life with your wise self. See what you've accomplished. And focus on what is satisfying and worthwhile to you. And if you want,
go ahead. I didn't know if I should share or not.
Not yet.
Okay.
That's all right. So, and if you want, you know, you can also look at what adjustments you'd like to make. Anything that's showing up is fine. And now look at that wise person that you will become, and let this future you serve as your mentor. So in this part of you that has been there and done that, and since this part of you speaks with experience, take a moment now to listen closely to what your future you wants to share with you.
Okay.
And now thank it. And take a moment to appreciate receiving these answers. Now, just as a note for anyone listening, you'll know that you've accessed your wise self if the message that you get is encouraging and inspiring. This is not about browbeating.
Exactly. No, indeed. Exactly.
You know.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Good. That is a good sidebar. Thank you for indeed.
Okay. Now, begin to move along your timeline back to the present, to the now, and come fully back into the now through the same opening in your head. And settle into yourself with your new knowledge available to you.
Nice.
And open your eyes.
Nice.
So how was that for you?
Well, I mean, as you know, I'm traveling. I'm all over outside my body anyways. That was why it was very easy for me to get there.
Yeah, you're used to it.
Exactly. But what was beautiful is, I mean, the message was definitely uplifting that, you know, it's my enthusiasm that, you know, it's like, I was, you know, don't curb your enthusiasm. It was just a matter of just take it out there and don't worry if it lands, you know, how it lands. Because I'm always so worried that, you know, people are going to judge this, and it's my own judgments that I'm worried about. It's like, just be enthusiastic, be the child that you are, because, I mean, I saw myself on councils and speaking to large audiences.
Ah, great.
Which, yeah, and that was actually, you know, it's so funny because the PhDs, and those are the people I'm going to talk to. I just kind of find that humorous.
Okay.
Well, because my instincts are telling me there's going to be a the heart brain is coming online.
Yeah.
I might not have the words or the context, but it's coming online within me, and as I do, my enthusiasm will come across soft and beautiful because it's my own lack of heart, my own judgment, that stutters my energy, that gets me it's like, you know, for now, just breathe, and, you know, it's all coming also. I mean, I totally got that, you know, I do make it, you know, I have grandkids, which means I had children, which was very nice to see.
Yeah,
it was funny because they were just the pictures behind her. But I looked, you know, it's like, oh, yes, they're your grandkids. It's like, yes.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, it was
that's a beautiful experience. And when you added that, of course, you know, she was by no, because you know who she reminded me of? She reminded me of, there was, did you see the Matrixes? There was a woman in Zion who had her hair up in a bun, and she was very regal. I get the sense of regal.
Mm-hmm.
She was regal, and my future self was regal, and it's like, you know, I had grown old, but not from a physical point of view. There was a glow in me, and you know, there was grace, and these are all the qualities I thrive to experience and express, because you know, they're the greatest teachers. Are, you know, the natural flow of life, you know, as opposed to sitting someone down and, you know, screaming at them, this is what you need to know.
Yeah.
That's not a good way to teach at all. So
it sure isn't.
Right. Yeah. So, but that was beautiful.
Oh, good. I'm not
yeah,
surprised,
thank
though.
You.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, it's you're a beautiful soul, and it's important for you to not lose sight of that, you know.
Right. Thank you.
Journey on this earth plane.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and especially in these days, I mean, this is literally the most challenging times for, you know, animal, mineral, plant, human, you know, all of us. We indeed are going through tremendous transitions, and, you know, being gentle with ourselves.
You're right about that. You're right. But
yeah.
You know what? You know, Chris, I'm the optimist, and I guess I'm excited to be here. I think that because of all of these amazing, powerful changes, you know, we're transforming, and transformation isn't always pretty. And but it's
right,
the
indeed.
Stage that we all need to go through. And
right.
Isn't it great that we have each other for support?
Oh, right on. Yes. Yes. I don't know about you, but Facebook has changed the way I look at myself.
Ah.
I mean, to have the reflections that I have in Facebook are like, and you know, and my whole thought is always, you know, don't feed off of that, Goldie. Don't feed off of that.
And whose
you know,
voice is that you're listening to?
That, you know, that's funny. If you say that, that would be my dad. My dad was always about, you know, be independent and make your own choices. And so that might be, you know, another pendulum swing, you know. I mean, where I love it, but I don't want it to ever be that, you know, I need someone to tell me who I am. You know, I want to know who I am from the inside out.
Oh, sure. Well, but enjoying having support or encouragement or validation is healthy.
That's truth. Yeah, I think I have extreme issues, which makes sense because, you know, I'm indigo, which modern medicine or Western medicine would call me bipolar.
Yeah. Well, either that or ADD.
Both.
Yeah.
Because another thing that I'm finding too, and this is where, like, I follow a woman, Lisa Renee. Like, I'm literally wired. My brain is wired circularly.
Mm-hmm.
It's why I tell stories, you know, 1, 5, 7, 3, 2, 9, 8. Because I don't process linearly.
Mm-hmm.
I process circularly, you know, and not because, you know, I'm trying to be difficult. It's just the way I process. You know, it's how it's always made sense to come in and come out of me, so to speak. You know, information in, information out.
Yeah.
And which, of course, is a very interesting, you know, aspect, you know, to be a radio show host and not be able to tell a story from the beginning to the end, you know.
Or a speaker, for that matter, right?
Or a speaker, exactly. But the beautiful part is when I'm speaking to other people who are circular, they get it. You know, it's And when I speak to, I think, people such as yourself, not that you're not indigo, because you very well could be.
Well, I believe that I am, yeah.
Yeah, okay, because there is this heart that, you know, we just, you know, we just feel the story, even if it, you know,
right,
doesn't come across so smooth. It's like, oh, you just, you can just sense when someone just means well, and, you know, the story gets out. It gets out choppy, but it gets out, and I don't know, there's just more to the delivery than just the actual words coming out. And, you know, it's like, you know, that I try to be that everybody can have a space. You know, it's, I mean, God bless Blog Talk Radio. I mean, you know, up until this year, it was actually free. You could have a radio show for free. And, you know, I used to tell people.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. Oh, are you on blog? Do you do blog?
Oh, I technically still have one. I haven't hosted it in a while now because I'm kind of revamping my focus. But, yeah, I was an early bird and getting on to Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's brilliant. I mean, I understand that, you know, he had to kind of sell out, so to, you know, because, you know, it's like Facebook. I mean, Facebook sold for $450 billion.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. I mean, and, you know, he sold that without ever charging us a dime. You know, this is all from the, you know, the marketing standpoint of it.
Oh,
because,
yeah,
like, you know, Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, and YouTube, you really see, I mean, they're tremendous tools of consciousness that we've created, where self-expression and, you know, not being censored. I'm such a component of, you know, freedom of speech, even if it was white supremacy, which, you know, I don't like what they have to say, but I'm all about, listen, I'd rather hear that which I don't like than to be censored, you know,
yeah,
from a space that I can't speak, because that just strangles me. You know, I mean, because I tell people, if you don't like what I say, turn me off. You know, you don't have to listen, but we have to support these amendments, because these are personal, you know, powers. If we give them away,
yeah,
life becomes, you know, then it becomes very dark. So,
yeah,
you know, when blog went, you know, to a pay thing, you know, my friends were like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, well, I'm part of the system, I'm paying, because I want to do a two-hour show. If I only wanted to do a half-an-hour show, hey, I'd fly with free, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm really, like, you know, I tell people all the time, if you have a voice, somebody wants to hear what you have to say, because that's another firm belief that I have. You know, somebody wants to hear, you know, so.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. And they want to hear you.
Yeah, yeah, I seem to have, I made a big jump this year, like 200% in 2011, my shows have gone up in listenership.
Excellent.
And, yeah, yeah, it's fantastic. If you ask me how or why, I don't know. I think it's energy. Other than that, I can't figure it out. I don't care. I'm happy about it. And then it was funny because I posted, Steve Rother, who is a channeler that I follow.
Yeah, I know Steve. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Did you see his latest with the empowerment for this month?
It's in my inbox.
Okay. Well, it's a fabulous. I mean, I love the group. I love Steve. And he basically is talking about, if you want to feel empowered, empower someone else.
Yeah.
And, of course, when I'm listening to this going, now, that's another reason why I have the radio show, because as soon as I heard that, it was like, oh, there's two people on Facebook that, you know what, I'm going to, you know, make an offer. Do they want to do a show? Just because I can, you know. And it's like, it's kind of a view I've always had anyways. And, you know, because I know a lot of people go for, you know, they want the big names. And I'm like, I want the passion that
right,
is truly, because that to me is bigger than the fame. It's the passion that all of us, you know, already have. We don't need to acquire this. We just need to know it's in us and that it's got value.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I would love it, you know, if you'd come on and play again, because you're fabulous, Barbara. And
we
I
play
know
well
you're busy.
Together, huh?
Yeah, we do play. And the processing is really, I mean, from my own standpoint, you know, I feel you. I feel what you do for me, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. There's the people I dance with are always, you know, really exquisite people.
Well, right. That makes sense. And well, it was my pleasure. I love doing this work. This is my calling, and I appreciate the opportunity.
My pleasure. You're beautiful. I'm so glad. I'm so glad you came on, and I'm glad we became friends on Facebook. And you know, I watch you, and I adore you. I adore your work, and somehow I get the feeling in our future, whether it's on the radio or even, you know, because do you do speaking engagements? Do you travel at all?
Oh, I used to do, when I first launched my business 15 years ago, I was speaking almost weekly.
Wow, nice.
I don't do as much speaking anymore in person. I do much more virtually than I do the traveling. But I do still do it, yeah, not as frequently and only when I want to.
That's the best way to do it because then your heart is in it. So
exactly.
Yeah, because somehow I see us, you know, and who knows, I mean, just in our future, I see us dancing together, which is a beautiful experience, you know. And just so you know, too, I'm a Pisces. I
know
you are. I put dreams out there. Yeah.
We both are.
So never feel, you know, I don't pressure. It's just if I see it, I share it. And, you know, you were beautiful tonight. I'm very excited about Sunday, actually, because, you know, to have that piece of the breathing is, you know, I'm all about going into anything with confidence. And that just clearly, you've built my confidence to face the relationship, and as well as my relationship, you know. I'm going to go to the woods tomorrow. I have the day off tomorrow. I'm going to bring my little book. You know, I have a little soulmate book.
good.
Yeah,
okay.
And I'm going to start writing we, because God bless, it's time to do the we. I mean, that's
right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Well, keep me posted on that.
Most definitely. And thank you so much for playing. You have an open invitation. If there's ever a time that, you know, you want 2 hours to speak on the air, you come to me because I will make that happen for us.
Well, you're so sweet. Thank you so much. And I love that image of us playing. I'm going to savor that.
Excellent. That's our truth. Thank you so much for being here tonight. I really, really enjoyed myself. Thank you.
My pleasure, and thank you, too.
Good night. Namaste. Good night, love.
Namaste. Love you,
namaste.
Too.
Bye, everybody.